Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these, your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances, Lord. I thank you that you're thinking through my mind and speaking through my vocal cords this morning. Let it be all of you and none of me, Father God. I ask you this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to get into part three of Living by Faith in Jesus. Today we're going to talk about what Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has done for us. So let's get ready to get right into it here. Hallelujah. Pardon me for a minute. Hallelujah. So living by faith in Jesus begins with understanding what he has already done for us. In this part of the teaching, we're going to look at the foundations of our redemption, how Jesus took our death, carried our punishment, and broke the power of the curse so we can live in the life, live a life of freedom, the freedom that God intended. When the foundations are strong, faith becomes simple, confident, and effective in our lives. So section one, we're going to have three sections. Section one is going to be Jesus took our death sentence to give us life. Section two is going to be Jesus was punished so that we could be forgiven. And section three is going to be Jesus became sin to make us righteous. Praise God. So let's go ahead and look at section one. Jesus took our death sentence to give us life. So Jesus took our death, took the death that belonged to us so that we could receive the life that belongs in him. We find this in Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. Praise God. So it says, for the wages are sin, of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Death is what sin produces, but eternal life is what God freely gives, revealing his love that is through his grace. I'll say that again. Death is what sin produces. But eternal life is what God freely gives us, revealing his love that is in his grace through what Christ has done for us. So humanity came under the death through Adam, and that death was spread to all. Okay? Adam did it, Jesus fixed it. But the devil is the one that sinned from the beginning. He's the one that wanted to be like God. He wanted the worship. And so his whole purpose was to come down and cause havoc so that he could steal the worship that God only gets. Alrighty? So from the beginning, he's the source of all of man's problems. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So don't be fighting people. A lot of people that believe in the Lord don't understand that your fight is not with people. That's the deception of the enemy, is to get you to fight people. Part of immaturity is you fight people and you don't know how to fight the spirit of the enemy that's behind the problems and the source of people acting goofy and ugly towards maybe you. So you got to learn how to deal with that in prayer. So that's another lesson. All righty, continuing on. Humanity again came under the death sentence of Adam, and that death was spread to all. Want us to look at that again. Adam did it. Jesus fixed it. The devil is the one that sinned from the beginning and was the source of all of man's problems. So now in Romans 5, 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, thus death spread to all. So all of us have been infected with the sin virus, if you want to call it that. We all have sin in us. That's why Jesus came. It was inherited because of what Adam did. Alrighty? God is a fair and a just God. That's why he prepared the plan of salvation. None of us have to eat the sour grapes of our forefather. We don't have to be under the curse of the law. You know, unless you just want to be under the curse of the law. So death is more than physical. It is spiritual separation from God. So what happened is there's a spiritual separation to take place. And so when man was separated spiritually, death began to manifest itself in man's body. So So, again, spiritual separation is what causes the physical death of humanity. Now, we have to put on the glorified body because these bodies are useless. The only reason we have them at this point is for us to learn how to discipline our sinful flesh with our new born again spirit. We need to learn how to take. You need to learn how to take dominion over your flesh. Amen. When you take dominion over your flesh, you're mature. All righty. So Jesus came as the last Adam to undo what the first Adam did and restore us the life, restore to us life. And that's the life of God. So he reconnected us spiritually to God in a relationship with him. Again, this is a relationship that we have from the inside. And our relationship from the inside will manifest on the outside of our life. So our outside is a product of what's going on the inside of us spiritually. So as we grow and mature as sons and daughters of God, you'll see things begin to happen miraculously on the outside. As you learn how to take dominion over the flesh, over the enemy trying to feed on your flesh, and you'll start learning how to speak out of your born again spirit and cause things to happen for you in this natural realm. Praise the Lord. So it's all about maturity. Now, religion is not going to teach you that. And, you know, if you're just a church folk, well, you know, you just got to grow out of it. You know, you got to get tired of and sick and tired of it before you'll leave it. Anyway, continuing on with section one, Jesus took our death sentence to give us life. So in Adam, all die. All right, the first Adam. But in Christ, we are all made alive. We got to get this. I'm saying this because we want to get this in our heart, make this an internal reality of our heart. So in 1 Corinthians 5:15, it says, "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Did you see that? In Christ, all shall be made alive. That's the Messiah. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. The Gentile name. Glory to God. It says the Gentiles shall trust in his name. Hallelujah. So he did not just die for us. He died as us. He took our place. Why? Because God says so. That's the way God set it up. Don't try to wrap your noodle around it. That's just the way it works. Praise the Lord, Mr. Noodle. Good morning, Mr. Noodle. Okay. Well, you know, you got to get delivered from your noodle mindset. I can't figure out all this stuff that God has done. I just go with it, man. I just believes it and accepts it. Right? All righty. Praise the Lord. All righty. So He died as us. He took our place under judgment so that we could take our place in his life. So we took on his life. It was a great exchange. In exchange for his life, for our life, we get his life. So he died for us so that we can live as unto him. Alrighty. Praise God. So he took our place under judgment. So he took the punishment. He took the death sentence. Doesn't matter how small or great your sin is. It is under the death sentence. That's the punishment. That's the price that has to be paid. And that death sentence is eternal separation from God. You do not want to be eternally separated from God. I had an experience with how that feels. When I had my medical emergency, and my God, I had a brother ask me, can you explain how it feels? I said, I can't explain it. I don't want anyone to feel separation from God. Hell is the separation from God itself. Just being separated and knowing that you're going to have to suffer from eternity, like closed in, just anyway, it was horrible. It was horrible. Anyway, because I was in sin. And that's where I would have went if I would have died that day. All righty. Thank you, Lord. He's married to the backslider. Okay, so Jesus carried the full penalty of sin so we could be redeemed from the curse. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us. That word redeemed means to purchase, to buy back. So his blood purchased or paid the penalty or the price for man's sin. That's just the way it works. You just got to believe it. Don't try to figure it out in your noodle. Just accept it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I receive. They that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign by one Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. So, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law, having become a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Again, the curse includes spiritual death, along with separation and bondage, problems. He took it all back on his cross. He literally took it on his back and took it all back. Glory to God. So we could walk in freedom, restored to fellowship with God. So we have a restored relationship. And so you need to spend time. Let me say it this way. You need to understand that your relationship with God is very important. And if you don't know how to develop a relationship, you need to go somewhere or pray and ask him how to develop that relationship, getting into that word and fellowshipping with him and getting to know him. So fellowship is important. You know, you talk to him down on the inside. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, eternal life is God's own life in us through Jesus Christ. It's God's own life in us through Jesus Christ. So in 1 John 5:10-13, it says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So you have an inner witness on the inside of you. He who does not believe in God has made him a liar. So if you don't believe it, you're saying God's a liar. And well, you have to deal with God by calling him a liar. And he's not a mean God. He's just trying to get you to receive it so that you can walk in the abundant life he provided for you to have in Christ Jesus. This is not simple. I mean, this is simple. This is simple. This is not rocket science. This is not complicated. The gospel is very simple. All you got to do is believe it. Why is it? I don't know how it works. I don't know. It just does. See how simple that is? It just works. Believing, it just works. Healing just manifests. How? I don't know. It just does. Lay hands on the sick, they recover. How? I don't know. I just believes it. See how simple that is? You literally got to go to school to complicate this. I'm talking about religious systems complicate this, trying to explain it. I don't need it explained. I just need to know it works. What do I do to make it work? Oh, just believe. Okay, I got it. We're done. Alrighty. Verse 11 says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And that life is where? That life is where? That life is in his Son. Oh, it's in Jesus. Well, that's where the life's at. So if you don't have Jesus in you, you don't have the life. He who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You can't complicate that. You gotta work to complicate what I just read there. See how simple that is? Either you receive him in your heart or you don't. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You have it. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice what it says. That you may continue to believe in the name. What are you believing in? If you're not believing in the name, you are on the road of, I don't know, deception, or you deceive, or I don't know. You know, the Bible's pretty clear. This eternal life becomes the foundation of everything God has provided. The eternal life that now lives on us, inside of us, when we believe in Jesus, is the foundation of everything that he's provided for us. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. Like I told you, people, what's the will of God? I don't know what the will of God is. Well, I need to find out God's will. What Jesus has done for you is God's will for you. I don't believe in healing. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus the healer then. Well, I ain't gonna argue about it. That's your problem. Second Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us all things. Did it say all or some things?
All.
It says His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, money and a well body, you know, that pertains to life. Having a roof over your head, having food to eat, having nice clothes to wear, that pertains to life. Godliness, living right, He's already given you the ability to live godly if you want to. What's the problem? People don't want to live right. Got to come up with all these different things to try to impress people. Either you want to live right or you don't. Why do you want to live right, Brother Larry? So to go well with me. It ain't rocket science. Why? So to go well with me. Larry, why do you live right? So to go well with me. Why should you live right? So to go well with you. Very simple. This is very simple. And when you grasp and accept the simplicity of the gospel, man, life becomes pleasurable. It becomes enjoyed. Enjoy. You begin to enjoy it. The blessing begins to flow in your life. Why do you tithe? I mean, people always asking that stupid question on Facebook. You know, what is this tithing? Is tithing a part of the law? Is living right a part of the law? You got to live right. And people just want to ask stupid questions. And I just, don't tithe then. I don't care. Ain't going to stop me. I know what the Bible says. I tithe because it is a witness that He liveth. Read the Bible, dum-dum, with your smart, educated selves. You just don't want to. Alrighty, where we at? Alrighty, so every promise, every blessing, and every victory flows from the life that God within. I'm going to say that again. This is very important. Every promise, every blessing, every victory flows from the life of God within us. Where is it at? In us. So when this truth becomes rooted in your heart, faith grows strong because it stands on the finished work of Christ Jesus. Jesus took our death sentence so that we could live by His life. Live by His life. That is the starting point of living by faith in Jesus. That's the starting point. It's all about living based on what He's done for us. And whenever we need something from God, we make a heavenly withdrawal based on what Jesus has done for us. We make a claim on our benefits that we have in the blood of Christ Jesus, by the blood of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Forgiveness is not our attempt to make ourselves right. This is section 2. Jesus was punished so that we could be forgiven. So forgiveness is not about our attempt to make ourselves right. Okay? In Isaiah 53:6, it says, And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Jesus carried the punishment that belonged to us. And the judgment that should have fallen on us fell fully on Him. Why? Because, remember, I said we all had sin in us. We can't, nobody can say they don't have sin. They lying. Because you inherited it from Adam. It's an inherited condition. And so God loves you enough. He loved us, and He's a just God. It's not fair for you to die because of someone else's wrong. Now, I know a lot of Christians, religious men won't preach this. You were born in the sin and shaping an iniquity. You can't help it. I was born with a heart problem from a child. How is that my fault? I was born with it. So you were born with sin. And all you have to do is accept the fix. God loves you so much that He gave Jesus to fix you of the problem. Fix the problem in your life. If you want it fixed. Some people love sin more than they love living godly. And well, you have to, you know, it is what it is. The Bible says sin is fun. For a season. When you see that it's dragging you down. I remember this lady said something to me a few months, about a year ago. She was like, "Larry," she's like, "I was like, yeah." She's like, "Man," she's like, you don't look the same." I was like, what are you saying?" He's like, "You don't look the same." I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You was looking bad, man. You looking good." I was like, "Oh, I didn't even know." See, I couldn't tell that I was looking bad because I was in sin. I was being run down, drinking and smoking and partying, and I was tearing my body up. But now I'm looking strong and healthy. Why? I came back to Jesus. I came back to the lover of my soul. You know, because he loved me enough to pull me back out of that foolishness. Your health and wealth is restored to you. Anyway, let's move on here. So on the cross, Jesus revealed God's heart towards humanity. So Jesus was God's heart towards humanity when he paid, excuse me, when he prayed for those who crucified him. This is what Jesus said in Luke 23, 24. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know. They thought what they were doing was of God. Jesus knew that they didn't know. It was all a part of the secret plan of God to sneak Jesus in the earth, to sneak his son in the earth to redeem all mankind. And he couldn't let them in on the secret. Oh, anyway, God is an awesome God. They're going to be fine. They're going to be okay. God's got a plan to save Israel. All of the world is going to be saved. That's his whole plan, is to save all of humanity. Our enemy is the devil, not one another. We can get that. Stop being distracted through racism and reactionary racism. You are a child of God. You are a kingdom of this, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Don't get caught up in all that Facebook crap. You shouldn't be having any political affiliation. You are of the kingdom. You're in this earth, but you're not of this earth. The way you deal with problems and situations and circumstances is through prayer. You are God's child. You are, if you are a mature son in God, you deal with things through prayer, and your prayer moves the hand of God in the circumstances and situations in your life and over other people. It's time for the church to grow up and stop trying to fight spiritual problems with natural human means. That's half of your problems. You listen to goofnagles that don't know what they're talking about because they're still carnal and they don't believe in the spiritual side of this battle. And that comes from the Lord. You've been saved too long to still be carnal. Some of the stuff you are saying and doing is ridiculous. And you know better. Stop being distracted with the foolishness and the entertainment that's going on in this world. And get serious about the King of Glory and being who you are as a born-again believer, the church, the ecclesia, the body that's been called out of this, a body of believers called out of this world into the kingdom of God's dear son's love, so that you can begin to make known to the principality and power and the rulers of darkness God's will and plan in the earth. It's time to grow up and stop reacting emotionally on everything and carnally. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they refuse to learn and grow up. They want to be babies. All righty. I believe the Lord's done on that. Forgiveness is about God's desire to restore us and educate us, producing true repentance, not condemnation. God doesn't condemn us for our wrongs. He educates us and changes us so that we can do what is right. This is important. You need to be educated. You need to be trained. The word disciple means disciplined one. So he's not trying to punish you. You're forgiven. But in your forgiveness, he also wants to educate you and change you so that you stop doing the wrong things, hurting yourself and others. Amen. You are a speaking spirit. If you don't know this, you're probably still a baby, or you're going somewhere that's not teaching you the truth. So you got to watch what you're saying, and you watch what you're saying by guarding how you're thinking about people. All right, enough of that. Continuing on with section two. Jesus was punished so that we could be forgiven. Through Jesus, Through Jesus, we are brought into peace and right standing with God. So we have peace and right standing with God. We find this in Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, having been justified, did you see that? Justified by faith, meaning justified because we believe and receive what Jesus has done. That's what justifies us. We have peace with God because we believe and receive what Jesus has done for us. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe, we are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. Watch this. Shame loses its voice against us. Hallelujah. Guilt loses its grip on us. Yeah. And condemnation loses its authority over our hearts. The enemy always wants to condemn you and make you think about the mistakes you made in your past. They're over. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was thinking about this today. This is important for you to understand. That if you think of yourself any way contrary to what the Word of God says you are in Christ Jesus, you are in false humility. False humility has you believing about yourself contrary to what the Word says you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're supposed to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but you're supposed to think highly of yourself. You are a king's kid. Why are you walking around with a lowly bar mentality? Oh, wowzy, wowzy, woo, woo. Trying to impress people, being transparent of what? What are you being transparent about? You are who you are in Christ Jesus. If you're not walking in who you are in Jesus, you are walking in deception. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're holy, you're acceptable, and you're above reproach. That's the way you're supposed to see yourself. You are blessed. You are not cursed. There's nothing to be transparent about other than telling people who you are in Jesus, how God sees you. That's some false humility mess. And it keeps you in bondage and condemnation. And it keeps you from walking in the victory that you are and you have in Jesus. And if your pastor ain't building you up in who you are in Christ, he might not be a pastor from Jesus. I don't care if people don't like me for it. It's the truth. If they're not teaching you who you are and look, if you're not looking in the mirror of the Word to see who you are and being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, you are being deceived. You're being religiously institutionalized with false humility. So never think of yourself contrary to what the Word says you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Or the heart is desperately wicked. That's why he crucified your heart. That's why he crucified you. And that's why he circumcised your heart and gave you a brand new one. Stop saying you got an old heart. You can't be a sinner and be a saint. You're one or the other. You was a sinner. Now you're a saint. All righty. Look at this here. So when you believe, you are forgiven because what Jesus has done for you. Shame loses its voice. Guilt loses its grip. Condemnation loses its authority over your hearts. Justified means to be declared right or to be shown as right. Jesus is your righteousness. He's your justification. This means someone has been proven correct. You're now correct in the eye. You are righteous. You are correct. You're cleared. And you've been given a valuable reason. What's the valuable reason of clearing you of all guilt? The blood of Jesus. Jesus is the validation of our reason. He's the valid reason because of what he did. And we just accept it. We walk in what he did. We walk in the footprints of what Jesus did for us. You understand what I'm saying? He done already did it for you. Walk in the newness of life. I said walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This will set you free from that religious mess. They got you walking in condemnation and guilt and false humility. That's false humility. Humility is accepting what the Bible says you are. Humility is accepting what the Bible says you have in Jesus. Humility is accepting what the Bible says you can do in Jesus. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And if they're not teaching you that, well, come here. I'll preach the gospel to you of Jesus Christ. I've been there, done that. Man, we never qualified. We was never good enough in the eyes of God to these religious men. Because they wanted us to be like them. Pretense and put on that religious facade, all that religious pompous, and I mean, I ain't doing all of that. Nobody teaching nobody how to live godly, because they don't know how to do it. They just know how to entertain you, make excuses for sin. Well, God understands. Well, he understands you don't want to live right. That's what he understands. The Bible meaning for justification is this. It means God declares you righteous because of Jesus. I said God has declared you righteous because of Jesus. You believe in Jesus, you're righteous. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God. It is your heritage. Jesus is your righteousness. The devil always wants to make it out about you and how wrong and how you don't qualify for things and what's wrong with you and pointing out all your and you half time you ain't got no weaknesses. It's just the devil messing with you, and you got men want you to sit down and come up under them instead of building you up in Christ. Some of you supposed to be out doing ministry, you still sitting in the seats. You've been sitting in church 20 years, 30 years, and you have a ministry and a calling, and you don't even have the confidence to go do it. You know why? Because they're not building you up in Jesus. You're never good enough in religious man's eyes. I said, you're never good enough in a religious man's eyes. When I broke out of that mess, God then called you. I said, God called you. What's the problem? You don't understand Jesus. Religion ain't going to teach you Jesus. It's not going to build you up in Christ. It's not going to form Christ in you. It's going to make you churchy. I don't care if they don't like it. We was churchy. We used to be there. Come out of that mess. Come out from among them. Get somewhere that's going to build you up so that you can walk in the victory and the power of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So justification is a legal. It's a legal term. It's legal. It's a courtroom word, meaning you are made right with God. Not because of what you did, because of what Jesus did for you. You are declared righteous. You are clean from all guilt. Your record is wiped clean, expunged, don't exist. God sees you as if you never sinned. Why? Because he sees you through what Jesus has done. Yes. He ain't looking at you and I based on what we've done. He says, I've forgiven you. What? Sin? What are you talking about? Why you keep bringing that stuff up? So when it comes up, just understand, sometimes the enemy try to bring that stuff up in me from my past. You know, I say, man, I thank God I'm saved. Lord, thank you for saving me. And I tell the devil, that ain't me no more. I hate sin. I hated what I did. That's why I'm saved now. And Jesus has saved me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I abhorred that old man. And he dead. He dead in Christ. He's dead. He's a dead man. That's a dead man. That's the old man. What are you talking about? Dead man can't feel nothing. So God don't see you as a sinner. You stand before him, for him, fully accepted. Man, I went to church and didn't feel accepted. I mean, we did. My wife and I, we never felt accepted. We never felt good enough. I'm trying to answer my call, but they never made me feel good enough. They kept pointing out what this was wrong and that was wrong and that was wrong. But they never told us anything about who we was and what we had in Jesus. They never did. They brought all them old scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, talking about how we have to measure up like this person and measure up like that person in the old covenant, you know. But I'm supposed to measure up. I'm supposed to walk in who I am in Jesus. But if you never tell me who I am in Jesus, I can't walk in who I am in Jesus. Do you understand this? You cannot walk in him if you don't see who you are in him. You can't be like him if you're not being taught and train, and you see who he is from the scriptures. You got to look in the mirror of the word and see who you are in Christ. See what you have in Christ. But you're chasing rabbit down. You're chasing the rabbits down holes about this and about that. Jesus took our punishment. We're at section three. Section 3, Jesus paid the debt of the curse. I said, Jesus, the Bible's Jesus. Jesus paid the debt of the curse. Jesus took the punishment of the law. required of every sin we ever committed. This is awesome stuff. Thank you, Jesus. When he hung on the cross, he stepped into our place and took the curse that legally belonged to us. Even though we had sin, us, and we inherited sin, I sinned a lot of different sins because I enjoyed it too. Guilty. Guilty. I was guilty. Guilty as charged. And it was bringing destruction in my life. Galatians 3:13-14 says, Christ, that's Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed. Paid for it. Ransomed us. Purchased it with the blood of his cross. Of the law. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, everyone is cursed who hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing, the empowerment of God, the blessing of Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. The blessing is now upon us. We're blessed. God's covenant promise with Abraham was to get Christ into the earth. Hallelujah. So Jesus has paid the full debt of breaking the law. Breaking the law created, and he paid it with his own blood so that the blessing could legally come upon us. All a person has to do is receive it by faith, and God does the rest. You just have to believe this by faith. Believe what happened on that cross for you. If you're not being taught, built up, and this is a key word I'm going to say, and maintained in it, you have to maintain. Be maintained. That means continue to hear it so that you can live by it. You got to abide in it so that you can live by it. You got to continue to hear it. You got to meditate on it. You got to look at it on a regular basis. Why? Because the enemy is going to distract you with all these different pop-ups to try to pull you away from it. And it causes you to forget who you are. Just like you got to keep looking in the mirror to make sure everything is looking all right. You got to keep looking into that word so you can see who you are every day. You got to have spiritual hygiene. I call it spiritual hygiene. Get in that word and staying clean and holy and righteous. Seeing who you are. See, you got to see who you are. When you see who you are and see how you look, you walk different. You know how it is when you get a nice outfit and you know you're looking good. Sometimes you just got to walk through the mirror. Huh? Got to look at that mirror. Who sung that song? When I walk through the mirror, I like what I see. But you know what I'm saying? When you look in that mirror, you know you're looking good, right? You got it. Hey, man, I look good today. Look at that. Huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our sin debts was wiped out. So let's look at Colossians 2, 11 through 15. Man, this is I like this scripture here. One of my favorites. It says, in him, you were circumcised with the circumcision made with our hands. Of doing what? Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So the spirit circumcised and cut out the flesh, the fleshly nature and desires. It's a spiritual thing. So you trying to fix yourself. When it's a spiritual thing that cuts the flesh out of your life. Mm-hmm. And you need to be taught how to cooperate with the working of the Holy Ghost to cut that sinful flesh, the spiritual circumcision that takes place in your heart. Hello? What happened to all that psychoanalytical teaching? It don't work, do it. Because it's a spiritual thing. You got to live by faith to live right, too. Some of you don't know how to do that. How do I live by faith to live right? You meditate on meditating on. You meditate on seeing yourself living godly. Do you know you meditated on ungodliness back in the day? You know how you meditated on trying to get with this person and sleep with that person? You thought about, ooh, man, that's going to be good when I get with that. See, what you premeditated the sin. Well, you got to premeditate your godliness. You got to see yourself by faith living right. You got a temper. You got to start meditating on how you going to react if someone says this to you or responds to you that way. Huh? You got to meditate on it. Take that word and see yourself doing what the word say. That's how you live godly. And the empowerment of the Holy Ghost will start making that a reality in your heart. Because what you meditate on gets in your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth says, from the meditations of the heart, let the meditations of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. So if you're meditating on good things based on the word in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth, or it's going to become a reality in your actions. Yeah. Now, I'm teaching good today, doggone it.
Yeah, you are.
Huh?
Yeah, you
ain't
are.
No psychology. I'm teaching you how the word work. Now, if ain't nobody teaching you, there lies the problem. You're caught up in some whatever. Look what it says here. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So this is what you meditate on when you got baptized. Remember when you got baptized? Well, meditate on that. I go down in that water. Lord, and you see yourself going down as the old you and raising up to the new you in Christ. Meditate on that. I'm dead to the old man is dead in Christ, and I've been raised alive with him. I'm walking in the newness of life. Meditate on that. See yourself dead to the old man and alive to the new by meditating on that scripture. And that scripture right there will become a reality on the inside of your spirit. And you'll begin to walk out the newness of life. I'm teaching real good. By the way, this is what it means to teach the word. Amen. What happened to all that intellectual jargon? Stick with the book and learn how to do what it says do. And you'll get the results of what the book say you get.
Amen.
Praise thy Lord. That's why the devil didn't want nobody. He can't keep them away no more. Because I know how to teach you how to do it. I know how to teach you how to do it. Look what it says here. Having been dead, look at this. Verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised in your flesh, look what he says. He has made alive together with him. You gotta believe that by faith. I've been made alive with Jesus Christ. You do that by faith, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Look at verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting and the requirements that was against us. Wiped out. The blood wiped it out.
Blotted out.
Everything. There's no record. I don't see nothing. It's just, I can't even see the charges. Why? Because the blood has just wiped it away. Can't see it. Blotted it out. Which was contrary. You see that word? Which was contrary to us. That was why? Because he made us upright in the beginning. So it was contrary to who we really are. It was contrary to how he really made us. Well, you know, people struggling with their homosexuality and this, that. That's contrary to who he made you. That's demons and devils influencing your thinking, operating in your emotions, and messing around with your erogenous zones. Anybody preaching that to you? It's perversion and it's manipulation, and you got your feelings and your erogenous zones all messed up. It says, which was contrary to us. Look what it says. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Nailed it. What does that mean? The debt was paid. They would nail the charges of the crime of the person that was on that cross. And they also, when someone's debt was paid, they would hammered on their door saying debt was paid. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus has paid the debt, all of our debts. It's been wiped away. And so the curse has no legal right in our life anymore. It has no legal rights. Demons and devils can't come in your life and enforce the curse in your life. Mm-hmm. Our debts, our sin debts was real. And it carried legal charges against us that allowed spiritual forces to work against us. Are against you, us, or, you know, but you saved now, so they don't have no legal right. But Jesus removed the entire record, expunging it by his blood. The debt note is gone. The charges are gone. The curse now has no legal right, so the curse is gone. Jesus is our debt forgiver. Glory to God. Debt forgiveness is taking place. And we serve him out of our debt of gratitude. So now we serve Jesus as a debt of gratitude. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, this is what we do. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service after all he's done for you. Now, you must not be grateful for saving you. You must not be walking your salvation for real, walking in the forgiveness of all the things that you did, knowing you were guilty and you were wrong, and now you're walking in the freedom of it. If you're not walking in the freedom of it, then you ain't saved. You haven't really come into a real reality of your forgiveness. But for those that have understand that they've been forgiven of the wrong, and they knew the implications of their wrong towards others and theyself, and they know they've been forgiven of it, my God, you say, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. It make you serve him and thank him. And do not be conformed to this world. So you're not going to be conformed to this world, but you're now transformed. How? By renewing your mind. You no longer think worldly and you start thinking godly. You must have a godly mentality and not a worldly mentality. It's the worldly mentality that had us in sin. People say they believe in Jesus and still ain't nothing changed in their life. You deceived. You haven't gotten in contact with your true salvation yet. You don't understand how forgiven you are. You haven't experienced your forgiveness yet, for real. So it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Alrighty, now let's continue on here. This is the last slide. So we live for him because he died and rose for us. We now live for the Lord. We allow him to be the Lord of our life and live through us and help us live godly. Because we don't want to sin no more. We don't want to hurt people and we don't want to hurt ourselves. Right. Listen, this is simple. To not break the law is to walk in love. Love doesn't hurt nobody. So when you love yourself enough to do the right thing and you love yourself enough not to do anybody wrong, man, you are fulfilling the law of love, which the whole law is hinges upon. I don't want nobody sleeping with my wife, so I don't sleep with another man's wife. How hard is this? How hard is that? There's nothing hard about that. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15 says, for the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ, the love of Christ, the love that he had for us compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, see, that was the love of Jesus, he died for all, then all died. Look at 15, and he died for all. Why? Look at the comma. I like that comma. Why? That those who live should no longer live for themselves. But for him who died for them and rose again. So we now live for Jesus. So you're not living for Jesus if you're still living in sin. You're not living in Jesus if you're still out there seeking and chasing a bag for yourself itself. You're deceived, man. I love you, but you're deceived. Find out what God wants you to do to be a blessing to people, and you ain't got to chase the bag. The bag gonna chase you. God, glory to God. The blessing is supposed to chase you down. As you serve others on behalf of the Lord, money cometh. Because you're working for Jesus. You're helping expand the kingdom. Why? You want other people to be saved just like you was. See, I was a backslider. So I want backsliders to come back to Jesus like I did. This ain't rocket science. I want people to understand the Bible like I now understand the Bible. I want people to understand that their faith was misplaced like my faith was misplaced. Uh-huh. I was in places that wasn't teaching me the truth. So I want you to now know the truth, because I was shifted like wheat. But Jesus prayed for me, so now I'm ready to strengthen my brethren. This ain't rocket science. Someone was asking me, I want to know why people backslide. I'm telling you, they don't know Jesus. That's why they backslide. They know church. They know God. They go to church and they believe in God, but they have no idea about what Jesus has done for them. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's why. That's the real reason. See, I just made it simple for you. Why? Because no one's preaching Jesus in most of the churches. It's entertained. It is driven by entertainment to get people to come. You think because people are in the church that people are saved. You're deceived. Everyone's sitting in those seats. You'll figure it out. Romans 6, 5 through 6 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Did you see that? Likeness. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, you have to know this. Know what? Our old man was crucified with him.
Yes.
That the body of sins might be done away with. So we should no longer be slaves to sin. See, we was a slave to sin because we was under the devil's kingdom. And when we got saved, we gave our life to Jesus Christ. We came out of the world system. We was translated out of the kingdom of darkness, where the devil controlled our passions and our emotions of our flesh, where we continue to sin and hurt ourselves and hurt others. We now come into the kingdom of God, where we no longer hurt ourselves or hurt others, but we walk in love. We share Jesus with other people, and we live right so it'll go well with us. And he empowers us to do it by crucifying our flesh, by circumcising our heart, by empowering us to do this thing. His grace helps us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm done. May you continue to grow and overflow in who you are and having Jesus. If you don't know Jesus for the pardoning of your sins, you need to just receive him and get to know him better. If you're going to church and you're not going to church to get to know Jesus, you're going to church for the wrong reason. You're going to be a churchy person. You're going to be very churchy, but you're not going to know Jesus. All righty. I love you. I love you till next time. We're going to talk about this some more on Thursday. All righty. Bye.